You may have noticed by looking at your worship booklet that today is World Mission Sunday. And I usually like to bring in someone who's been a world missionary to preach on this particular day every year. And I was talking to a friend of mine just this week who had spent 25 years as a missionary in Mexico City. And I said, I really wish I had the money to bring you out so you could have come and preached at Christ the King this week. And he said, well, Eric, I've got lots of travel points. You should have asked me. I would have paid my own way. I said, dang it. So you guys are stuck with me today. But I want to start by telling a story that a friend of mine tells. Now, we're going to call him Jeff, but that's not his real name. But because of the work that he does, it's very dangerous work, so I'm not going to use his real name. But Father Jeff runs an organization that seeks to bring the gospel of Jesus to the unreached people groups of the world. And Father Jeff spent a number of years living and serving in the Middle East, in a place where there was no established church and very few Christians. And he told me a story about a time when he and his partner got a call from a man a few villages away who was interested in seeing the Jesus film. So they took their VHS tape of the Jesus filmed, and they went to the man's village, and when they arrived at his house, they knocked on his door, but they were surprised when he didn't invite them to come inside. It turned out that the man didn't own a VCR or a television set, and the only place in the entire village with a VCR was the local tea house. And so off they went to the tea house, and when they arrived, it was filled with men sitting around tables and carrying on conversations. They found the TV and the VCR on the wall at one end of the room, and they inserted the VHS tape into the tape player, and they began watching the film. And as the movie played, they started to realize that the room was getting quieter and quieter and quieter until everyone, the entire tea house, was watching the film. The silence was broken when a man came charging into the room with two police officers in tow and accused Father Jeff and his partner of spreading propaganda. They were immediately arrested and their tape confiscated. Now, after spending a few hours in a jail cell, the police chief came to them with the tape in his hand. And he said, I have two things to say to you. The first one is that I've watched this entire tape, and this is not propaganda. You are free to go. The second thing is, why hasn't anyone told me about this Jesus? Why hasn't anyone told me about this Jesus? For those of us who live in the United States, it's hard to believe that there are still people around the world who have never heard the name of Jesus. And yet, out of roughly 17,000 people groups on earth, it is estimated that almost 8,000 of them have never been touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that over the past 5 months, I've been preaching a lot about bringing the good news to our local community. But today, since it is World Mission Sunday, I'd like to cast the net a bit broader and explore why world missions are so important for the church. Now, it could be said that the Apostle Paul was really the greatest world missionary to ever live. Back in his day, there were no cars or trains or airplanes. There was no email or text messaging, no VCRs or DVD players or YouTube. And even things like books and written material in Paul's day were fairly limited. And yet, in the midst of those many challenges, Paul managed to bring this new gospel of salvation to a huge number of people. In our reading from Romans today, we see Paul's heart for mission on full display as he addresses both why evangelism is important and how it must be done. This morning, I'd like to take a look at both of these questions and see how they are just as important for the church today. In addressing the why of missions, Paul points to the universality of the gospel of Jesus. Our reading from Romans 10 is part of a larger discourse that Paul is giving on the place of Israel in the overall story of salvation. Now, Israel had been chosen by God to be a blessing to the nations. But by the time we get to the first century, we see that the Jewish people, like many Christians today, have become inwardly focused. And even though Paul had been brought up a Jew and even had been trained as a Pharisee, he understood that the gospel of Jesus was not limited simply to the Jewish people. And thus, he was called to bring this good news to the Gentiles. For Paul, the gospel is not about lineage or family tree, but rather it's about faith. Starting in verse 9, he says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Paul here is in essence describing faith, which is this process of not simply believing something, but acting on that belief. Now notice that Paul doesn't put any limits on who can have faith in Jesus. It's available to Jews and Gentiles. It's available to men and women. It's available to young and old, slave and free, because Jesus died and rose from the dead for all of them. Now, I've often had people tell me, well, the reason you're a Christian is because you were born in the United States. If you had been born somewhere else, you'd probably be something different. If you were born in India, you'd be a Hindu. If you were born in Pakistan, you'd be a Muslim. And while that may be statistically true, it does not mean that the gospel of Jesus is irrelevant or unavailable to a person living in India or Pakistan. A few weeks ago, I was talking with a young man who grew up in a Muslim family in Turkey. But as a teenager, he was introduced to Jesus and became a Christian. It didn't matter that he didn't come from a Christian family or a Christian culture or a Christian country, because the gospel has no regard for such things. And Paul knew this to be the case. In verse 12, he says, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him." This is why Paul worked so tirelessly to bring Jesus to the Gentiles. And this is why the Lord calls us to do the same thing. Of course, the challenge of Christian mission is that it is by nature an active pursuit. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a rock star. So I figured I should probably learn how to play the guitar. When I was 11 years old, my parents got me a cheap nylon string guitar for Christmas, and I started taking lessons from a guy at church named Greg Johnson. And Greg taught me how to play chords and how to strum different rhythms and play different songs. Without his help, I never would have figured the guitar out on my own, and it would have become just sort of a fancy decoration in my bedroom. Now, at the same time, I had a friend named Trey Eichner, best bad influence I had growing up. But Trey also wanted to be a rock star. But here's the difference between Trey and me. The difference is I needed to be taught how to play these instruments. Trey just knew. When he was 3 years old, he sat down at a piano and started playing the theme song to Sesame Street. And by the time he was 12, he could pretty much pick up any instrument and within a week or two know how to play it proficiently. But while music ability may come naturally to some people, the gospel does not. For all of us, the gospel must be taught. Starting in verse 14, Paul says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" Now think about it for a second. No one in this room discovered Christianity on your own. Somebody had to give you that gift of the gospel. Maybe it was a parent, or a teacher, or a pastor, or a friend. And what's more, someone had to give them that same gift that they gave to you before they could give it to you. Nobody discovers the good news on their own. It's not something that we inherit, like being Italian. It's not something we can assume. We can't just go sit on top of a mountain and meditate long enough until it comes to us. The gospel has to be taught. It has to be passed down from one person to the next. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus commissioned his disciples by saying, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This new task of carrying the gospel out to the world, of teaching others what Jesus had done and said, was their responsibility, and it continues to be our responsibility today. As a priest, one of the questions I often get asked from both Christians and non-Christians alike is, what happens to the people who have never heard the gospel? Will God send them to hell? And while this is certainly a legitimate question, I think it is in some ways somewhat misguided, because it usually is asked in a way that puts the responsibility on God, that he somehow has done something wrong to cause these people to not know who he is. Now, one of the things that I really love about Christ the King is what I'm starting to call the CTK citrus market. Every week, it seems like we have the most delicious oranges and grapefruits and lemons all just sitting out there on the bench, free for the taking. Now imagine if we discovered that there was some unique characteristic in Jan soil that made it so that Jan's oranges could cure cancer. That would be awesome. And I'm sure every week Jan would bring in huge bags of oranges and she would tell us, "Go and take these to everyone you know who has cancer. And if you don't know someone who has cancer, find someone who has cancer and bring them these oranges. They will cure them." Now, I certainly hope if that were the case, we would all grab these oranges and take them out to everyone we know. But what if we didn't? What if we just left those oranges here at the church to rot? And then what if someone we knew died of cancer? Would we blame Jan for that? Would it be her fault that that person did not get what would save their life? Well, no, we wouldn't blame Jan. She did her part. She provided the cure. Now, this person was already going to die. So we would have to ask ourselves, why didn't we bring that person one of Jan's oranges? And that is the same question we ought to be asking when it comes to the gospel of Jesus. When someone says, what about the people who have never heard of Jesus? We need to ask ourselves, why haven't we told them? If there are people in the world who have still not heard the gospel, it is not because God is unkind or unjust. It is because we have been unfaithful. So what can we do when it comes to world mission? This may seem like a huge task, way too big for us. But I'm going to propose three things this morning that we can do. The first thing that we can do is we can pray regularly for people who have been called to the foreign mission field. Being a missionary is not an easy job, and it comes with many hardships and difficulties. I've known people who pray regularly for missionaries, but sometimes it makes it more real for us if we're praying for specific people, if we can see a face in our mind when we're praying. And so if you know any missionaries, pray for them by name on a regular basis. And if you don't know any, let me know and I can introduce you to some. And they will tell you with many stories and examples about how important those prayers are for them and for their families in the midst of that work. Now, a second thing we can do is we can make a commitment to support those missionaries financially. A mission work, if done right, is not a lucrative vocation. And most missionaries are responsible for raising all of their own support, and every dollar is vital to their ability to preach the good news in foreign lands. I want to encourage all of us to pray about whether the Lord is calling us to financially support a missionary. Again, if you need suggestions, let me know. Actually, my friends Russ and Heidi Smith, who are Anglican missionaries in Chile, will be here next month to visit with me. I'd be happy to introduce any of you to them if you'd like to meet them and hear their stories about how God is changing lives in South America. Finally, perhaps God is calling you to be a missionary. Paul says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." The Lord is always looking for men and women who are ready to step out in faith and bring the gospel to those who have never heard it. And so as we continue our mission here in Poway and San Diego County, let us not lose sight of the fact that Jesus calls us to bring the gospel not just to our local community, but to the ends of the earth as well. Even if we are only playing a small part in that global mission, those small parts, when put together, make a huge difference. Jesus Christ is a gift not just to us, but to the entire world. And so let us always seek to share that gift with all people near and far. Thanks be to God. Amen.